You could drive him nuts.
Direct from the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear holes.
That could have been like a barbershop quartet.
Happy New Year, everyone.
That's like February.
Should old acquaintance be forgot?
In other words.
And never brought to mind.
Never brought to mind.
Should old acquaintance be forgot?
Should old acquaintance be forgot?
And days of auld lang syne.
Attaboy, Clarence.
I want to live again, Clarence. I want to live.
Every time a bell rings,
an angel gets his wings.
Hey, get me. I'm giving out wings.
We'll drink a cup of kindness yet. All
right,
guys.
That's Scottish, right?
It is. Somebody speaking of that wonderful movie.
I wonder what that...
Auld Lang Syne means days long past.
Yeah. You don't get too many Scottish songs that everybody sings.
It's Robert Burns.
Is it?
It's Robert Burns.
Wow.
Yeah, Robert Burns wrote that.
Fancy.
How about that?
How about that?
That's a little bit of Scottish.
We're sorry we're late, guys. This episode is only 2 weeks late.
It's three weeks late.
Yeah. It was supposed to be the day after Christmas. I got sick. That sickness extended. It actually got worse through the new year. So last week I was absolutely couldn't even talk.
Yeah, John, you sounded pretty bad.
It was great.
Called John.
You sounded like you were on your deathbed.
It was chestal and nasal.
Chesticular?
It was chesticular. Ugh.
I called Mario and he said, "Is that you?"
I was like, "Papa?"
Papa? He really did.
Papa?
He really did. Papa?
Is that you?
And I'm like, "What's that from?" Ferris Bueller, right?
Ferris Bueller's day off. Papa?
So good.
How's everybody's New Year so far? How'd you kick it off? Everybody's good?
Kick it!
Been working a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dealing with nonsense at work.
That's okay, man. Justine couldn't be here today. Why? Because it's 2019 and we're done.
Yep.
It's all guys now. We don't need this underwhelming. It was good. We want
dedication. We want commitment, and we want enthusiasm.
And we want all eights for the movies. I don't put fours in my movie collection. Right? My movie collection is solid.
There are a couple fours.
I said to Mario, but I want to know what she thought of Paper Moon. You go, why? So she can sit there and give it a six.
Yes. I didn't want to see John's.
So you can say, and she can say, it was okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to see the look of disappointment on John's face.
I guess I've always got sort of like optimism, but this might be the breakthrough. No. This is the one.
They
World
were
War II movies.
But you would know, right? Did you watch it together?
Yeah, but did she give me her scores? No. No, we didn't watch them together, actually.
Oh, okay. You didn't.
We don't know what goes on in that head.
You didn't watch Paper Moon together?
No, we watched it separately. Probably for the best.
Okay.
This is John's favorite. John, we are reviewing your absolute favorite movie.
Just about.
Today.
Top three, anyway, yeah.
I
give
it a six.
I know. I just love the way you said that. Just like, why? So she can sit there. Why do you care?
I got the call yesterday that Justine might not make it.
We don't want to break poor John's heart, okay?
What did she say today? She said, I see how it is. Push comes to shove.
I'm number two.
And I was like, obviously. I've always said it's John Sandy, then it's Justine, then it's everybody else.
Because I said, what? Are we going to put it off another week? Are we going to wait till? And you're like, no.
Yeah, you'll get her scores later.
People have waited 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because we're also doing one of my favorite movies. We're doing Taking a Pelham 1-2-3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You love that movie, didn't you? You loved it.
I'll save it for this show.
Yes! I love it. I'm excited. We did one of Jake's favorite movies, Westworld. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
It's your new favorite movie.
Had you seen it before?
No, I hadn't.
Can't wait to get started. Can't wait to get started.
I'd seen none of these. This is all fresh.
Great.
Yep.
All right,
fresh.
And there's a lot of...
It's fresh.
I hadn't even heard of Taking Pelham 1-2-3.
Oh.
There's a lot of movies in the 70s. And you know what's funny right now? For the new year, for January, Amazon just put out a bunch of stuff. A ton of stuff from the 70s. So we might be making some...
Like Taking Pelham 1-2-3.
Taking Pelham 1-2-3.
Did not have to pay for that.
Nope, it's on.
I've asked you this before. I can never remember your response. Is Poseidon Adventure on your digital download?
It is not, but we are going to see it because the other day I watched it, And I left the room, and I asked Nicole, do you want to finish watching? She said, yeah. She was kind of in the middle of, you know, working on some
knitting.
Needlepoint. Yeah, she was knitting. And then I was knitting. What did she do? She's going to kill me for not knowing.
Crocheting.
Anyway, crocheting. Thank you.
You're
That's
welcome.
What it is. Anyway.
You'll get a hook in your eye.
Yeah. She ended up giving it a 7. She said it was entertaining. You know, it wasn't something she would have sought out, but it was well done. You could see how it was. And
Gene Hackman just knocked her out.
And my daughter liked it for Mystery Science Theater level.
Was she calling out lines?
She was calling out, you know, she wanted Rogo to die.
Rogo.
Rogo. What a great name for a hateful, Mr. Rogo.
Preacher!
Oh, good stuff. If you guys have never seen The Poseidon, we'll watch
it. I have.
You have seen it?
Mm-hmm. I've seen both of them.
I have not.
It's a knockout.
It's a good one.
It's a knockout.
It's definitely the best of the disaster movies.
It's the only one you need to see, in my opinion.
I would say if you're going to pick another one, Towering Inferno is the way to go.
Yeah.
Just because of the cast.
The cast is insane.
Yeah. Paul Newman and Steve McQueen.
Faye Dunaway.
And Faye Dunaway.
William Holden.
Yeah, everybody. It's like a great.
Fred Astaire.
It's a great cast.
But it's practically Airplane. You know, it's so goofy.
It really is.
It's so dopey.
It is. That's why you need Airplane.
It goes to show you how much money Poseidon Adventure made. They said, okay, anything you want. You got the sky's the limit. Here's your blank checkbook, you know.
And the famous story from that is Steve McQueen actually counted lines.
Yes.
So that he and Paul Newman, and they actually share equal billing.
Right. Like
the names are right next to each other. Not one
like,
is not.
It's like a weird pyramid. I think Faye Dunaway is above them both, but it's in the middle or something.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, we probably will do the Poseidon Adventure.
Great.
I took a poll.
Ah.
For the best of the 70s disaster. It made me made me curious, John. Not a lot of people answered, only 20-something. But
I was
watching Raiders of the Lost Ark last night, and halfway through I just said, I'm going to put a poll up, and that one actually got a lot of – it was the which is the better trilogy, the original Star Wars or the original 3 Indiana Jones movies.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Star Wars is –
It's funny because they both have a weak link. You could say they both of those trilogies have a weak link. You know?
Yeah. See, but I always say that is that if you watch Crystal Skull, that retroactively makes Temple of Doom
look better.
It look fantastic. Compared to
Crystal Skull. I always say this. I love the first like half hour of Temple of Doom. I could watch that anytime.
Yeah.
But the minute they jump out of the plane and in that inflatable raft, it all goes downhill for the rest of the movie.
22 votes, favorite 70s disaster movie. 64% voted Poseidon Adventure.
There you go.
18% voted Towering Inferno. 14% voted Earthquake. And 5% voted, I just put Airport, whatever.
Whatever.
Airport. That was
so that was listeners? That was listeners to our podcast?
Listeners. That was listeners and people on the Twitter.
The interwebs.
Now, Star Wars is leading in the poll.
I think that one closed.
For trilogy. Okay, so somebody at work was asking about that. They said, okay, just best trilogy, period, with no weak links. And so for a long time, I would say, like, Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
And somebody at work said, hey, how about the Batman, Christopher Nolan, Christian Bale?
That's pretty good, except for Dark Knight Rises kind of sucks.
Yeah, people say that. I don't think it sucked. It might have been too long. I didn't think it sucked. All right. So did that ruin the whole movie for you?
You got to do it right, Mike.
When Gotham lies and ruins, then you may have my permission to die.
Mario doesn't like it because a lot of the lines remind him of his favorite Hellboy line. They go bump in the night.
Yeah, yeah.
You must be overjoyed that they're remaking Hellboy.
It looks good.
No, as John Hurt.
Not at all. It's
without
fine.
The late John Hurt.
I am hesitantly excited.
49 votes, 82% for Star Wars, 18% for Indiana Jones. With 7 hours, so get out there and vote, guys. 7 hours left in that poll. Get out there and vote.
Did you really hate The Dark Knight Rises?
It was fine. Yeah. I saw it once and it was fine. I didn't never need to see it again.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just too long.
It's a long one.
I enjoy it.
That's
it's
the
about
problem.
A half hour
that's what knocks that's what knocks Lord of the Rings out.
Yeah.
Mm. Because Return of the King has like 15
endings.
Nope.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I'm telling you, Back to the Future is a solid trilogy.
Nope. Lord of the Rings best trilogy.
Mm.
Yeah.
I never even thought about that. That's how little I
the
think about
the extended editions. Best trilogy.
You must love Lord of the Rings.
I love Lord of the Rings.
Because it's funny. I saw all of those once. And I never gave him another thought. So when they talk about trilogies, I never even think of Lord of the Rings. But
good for you, John.
And then you go to yourself, oh, yeah, there was three.
I get the passion. People that are really, really into it, I get that. For me, it was always just like, okay, I'll go see him. Pretty good. That's it.
Good for you, John.
Yeah.
Good for you.
But I'm in. I know that there's an entire is an entire mass of people out there that just think that's the greatest. I know somebody that just like played those like every day. I knew a girl that just always had that on the VCR, just playing it.
Yep,
Jake.
I did that over a summer once. I just watched all three movies just back to back, and it was fantastic.
I
took them a whole summer,
all extended.
No, I get that. Oh, I know, because everyone added like an hour, right? Did they each extended one was like an extra hour?
Yeah.
I remember thinking, wow, this is like 15 hours.
It's like a 12. It's like a 12-hour trilogy.
We'll be watching the trilogy later on when we get to the 2000s.
Yes.
Swish.
What'd you think of the Hobbit trilogy? Didn't need to be a trilogy.
I think it could have been two movies. I don't think they had to extend it to three.
It could have been one movie.
It could have been one movie.
Well, based on the book, if you didn't.
Based on the book, that's what, 200 pages?
Mm-hmm.
They somehow squeeze out, you know, 6 hours of content or seven.
Well, I
hours
mean,
of
if you read any of his books, there's 6 hours of description about scenery for, you know,
yeah, you know,
30 pages. So yeah, it makes sense.
Takes him 30 pages to get to Weathertop from,
yeah,
it took me a
which
long
all took all of 30 seconds in the
time.
Movie.
I tried to read that book over and over.
The Hobbit,
and then when the movie, no, not The Hobbit,
The Lord of the Rings,
Lord of the Rings. It took me the first book. I probably tried to read it about 8 or 9 times because so many people recommended it to me. And when the movie was going to come out, I finally forced myself. It does not get going until the Council of Elrond. After that, it's fine. But it's like getting to that point, you're like, oh my God.
It's all
God.
Descriptor.
It's, yeah, all, it's like all this beautiful landscape in the forest. And oh, look at all the wildlife.
Yeah.
It's like, and oh, check out this really beautiful tree that's been there for thousands of years. And I'm like, I don't care. Get to where you're going, please.
It's like he's getting
somebody
paid by the word.
Somebody hit the fast travel button, please.
Yeah, someone please hit the fast travel
button. I guess
button.
People that want to immerse themselves in another world, it's perfect.
No, it's. I mean, they're great books. It's just like that's what the running joke with those is just that every single one of them is way too long just for the description.
Best trilogy, John? You're going to say...
Movie-wise?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I still think the one that doesn't have a weak link is Back to the Future. I like the Dark Knight trilogy.
I'm gonna say Toy Story.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, there you
way
go.
To make me cry.
There
I'm
you
say
go.
Toy Story.
Yeah, yeah, I never even
all
thought
three
of that.
Are great.
Yeah, yeah. It's about to leave the trilogy family.
No reduction in quality. Yeah, it's gonna about to leave the trilogy family, just like Indy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, right, sense. Right. But you know,
right.
You could say the original.
And
the
you
original
know, number trilogy. 2 definitely peaks it, right? Like that's Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2 is fantastic.
That's the best one.
I don't care what your girlfriend says. Toy Story 2 is amazing.
I know, this is why I'm saying this, because she's not here. She can't argue.
Great.
It's cool. Well, it's
3
great.
Is great too. 3
is great though.
Is good, but Toy Story 2 was like, hey, they hit their stride.
Sure.
They were great.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's a Pixar movie.
Guys, it's Digital Movie Wednesday. Before we get on to this though, go support our friends Home Video Hustle. They just started their Patreon.
Must be nice.
Yeah, it must be nice to get paid to do what you
what'd
do.
What they do now?
They started a Patreon page. So
what is that?
It's a little thing where you can support your favorite podcast by donating a monthly. It's like a monthly.
It's like you're subscribing
fee that comes
to
out
them.
Of your,
it's like you're buying them a cup of coffee or something.
But if you guys
don't
want
to,
no, because we don't have anything. We don't have any bonus things.
They really don't.
What do they do? Bonus.
They're doing like bonus videos, and they're giving their subscribers extra stuff.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. You guys want to do more work?
Must be nice.
I mean,
you guys want to do more work? Is that what you want to do?
I just want to be appreciated.
Because that's how you do more work. Is
can well, I just be
appreciated?
Patrick could
draw them something and then they could all sign it.
Yeah.
Tell you what, we'll start a Patreon page and you
we can
draw
all sign best wishes.
You draw one comic a month that goes out to all of our listeners.
Do you know how much work that is?
Yep.
That, well, you.
One panel.
That's what you wanted.
One panel.
You can get a 3-panel comic strip. That's a deal.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, like BC.
Give him a nice like Calvin and Hobbes parody or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just Mario strangling us the whole time.
that frame of Homer Simpson. Basically that selling
animation.
One for each of us. Except John.
Congratulations.
Justine, it's just us.
We'll figure it. We don't need to we do this for the love of it.
Okay.
I subscribe just ask to them.
Him. I gave him money, of course.
I did, yeah. Absolutely.
Support good podcasts.
Yeah.
You guys can support this podcast by telling your friends about it, following us on Twitter, leaving us good reviews.
And convincing our host to
set up a Patreon.
We don't need a Patreon.
I was just asking.
Guys, I get the money.
I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, we know you do.
And
what's
the
that?
Books are not going to be open. Like if I
the
get the
books.
I want to see the ledgers, and I don't want the cookbooks.
No, the books,
I want the real
the
books.
Books will not be open if we get a Patreon. Mm-hmm. It's all going into Daddy's pocket. You guys understand that, right? And then I'll give you, like, and then it's never going to be the same. Like, once in a while, he's like, here's a couple bucks. And then the next week, you might
hey,
not get
pay for one of the movies. It's better than
maybe.
Nothing.
Okay.
Did you, hey, taking Pelham 1, 2, 3.
That welcome. One I did.
Okay, Mr. Potter.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yes, that's right. This bright young man.
You once called me a miserable old man.
Listen, guys, it's Digital Movie Wednesday.
So let's get on with it. Let's get on with it.
Dun, dun. Dun, dun. Dun, dun. Dun, dun. Ba 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 ba
ba da da da
ba da da da.
That's weird. Something's missing.
Huh, someone's missing.
Something's missing. Weren't you supposed to come in at the top of your lungs?
Someone's supposed to do something, yeah. Someone's supposed to scream their head off.
All right, what's that Dodger thing?
Last time I did that, somebody complained online.
It's a phone.
Did they?
A phone
yeah,
bank.
They did.
Who complained online?
I don't remember.
Step away
wait,
from
wait,
the
wait,
mic.
Wait, 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 wait.
You
wait,
just
wait,
step
wait.
Away from
wait,
the mic.
Stop a second.
They said I blew out eardrums.
Yeah, who?
It was probably Stork, I think.
Who cares?
Who cares, yeah.
I care about our listeners.
No.
Don't
someone
care about
needs
are
to.
They giving you money?
Others. Someone needs to.
Are they giving
are they
you
someday?
Love and appreciation? No.
Hopefully someday.
No, don't ever do that.
Right, you, horrible.
I'm. You listen to me, and that's it.
Whereas okay. you left me hanging.
Yes, Daddy.
Never read our reviews. I read the reviews, and then I tell you.
So you're the gatekeeper.
Jake's the only one who caught that.
Yeah. Caught what?
You heard me.
I don't know.
I love that. He's the only one that caught it. Caught what?
I saw you
winking.
I didn't hear. Mm-hmm.
Winking with my face. With my face, yes.
That's winking and blinking.
Winky face.
So what are we talking about?
You need
this
to
week?
Help me.
We're talking about winky face.
Oh, okay.
MGM presents Westworld.
Your attention, please. We will soon be landing at Westworld, the ultimate resort.
We have you on grid 5, over.
It consists of 3 worlds of the past.
Locking in now.
Worlds where you can live out your every fantasy. There's Roman world, the lusty, decadent delights of Imperial Pompeii.
Notify ground crews.
Medieval world, chivalry and combat in 13th century Europe. And Westworld. Lawless violence on the American frontier of the 1880s.
Bacon, cinnamon toast.
Each resort is maintained by reliable computer technology and peopled by lifelike robot men and women.
Let's stand by for resort activation.
Ready on 6, on 5, on 4, on 3, on 2. Activate now.
Our robots are programmed to provide you with an unforgettable vacation.
Dinner at 7, breakfast at 6:30. Get lunch on your own. Don't look like much here, but we have everything.
You mean to tell me he's a robot?
What'll it be?
Vodka martini on the rocks with a twist of lemon. Very dry, please.
Just give him whiskey. He's new in town.
Many elements of the Delos Resort are potentially dangerous. That's part of the appeal.
Go on.
You say something, boy.
Kill them.
Your move.
Our technology is designed to provide all this in complete safety. In Westworld, frustrations find release. Desire ends in satisfaction.
Let me handle it.
And all in a controlled environment.
That's not supposed to happen.
We know you'll enjoy your stay in Westworld.
Hold it.
The ultimate resort.
Let me do it this time.
Where nothing can possibly go wrong.
I'm shot.
Go wrong.
Raw.
Go wrong.
Oh, my God.
Shut down. Shut down immediately.
Guys. Westworld. Mm-hmm. The robots have gone nuts. Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
This is actually Jurassic World Part 1.
That's right. Michael Crichton.
The very same plot as Jurassic Park.
It's like a dry run.
It is. Same author.
And he directed. It's amazing. I always think that's a mind blower that they let him direct it.
He did a pretty good job.
He did.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
All right. John and I have seen this movie. We grew up with this movie. It's from 1973. Westworld, starring Yul Brynner, James Brolin, Richard Benjamin, a bunch of other people.
And a cast of robots.
And a cast of robots.
Robot.
All right. Let's look at the ratings here. What did you guys think?
Yul Brynner crushed this movie.
Yeah, man.
That's the role he was made to play.
It looks like the Terminator at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the OG Terminator.
Original.
More scared of him than I am Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, this is like the framework for all those killer robots to come. What did you... let's start with Jake.
Okay.
I'm always curious to what goes on in Jake's head.
We all are.
Me too.
What is he doing up there?
Me too.
It got a 7. It gets a 7 out of 10 on IMDb. I don't know what it is on Rotten Tomatoes.
Doesn't say on Rotten Tomatoes?
Let's go look. We're gonna go look over there right now.
Let's head on over.
Go ahead. Give us your review, Jake.
Yeah, I thought
86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
86. Wow. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I kind of like the different aspect because I'd seen Westworld the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Already prior to seeing this, so I already knew what was going to happen, but I liked that it was a little bit more isolated, where you pretty much only saw the point of view from those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, like, you know, jump back and forth.
Yeah,
but it's primarily you just see it from their perspective,
a little bit of what goes on in the other resorts, but
a little bit, but not much, just like a couple of minute scenes here and there. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of show you the other, you know, the other resorts and whatnot and what's going wrong, but it was decent. You know, I think the show does it a lot better.
Because you're
exploring
more.
Obviously, they have more time to kind of, you know, lay everything
out. And the show's really about what's going on in the robots' heads.
You're going deeper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got going so much deeper with the consciousness and all that.
Yeah, so I appreciate that a lot more. But, I mean, it was decent. You know, acting was solid. I did like a couple of the scenes in the, what was it, when they go right into the bar. They kind of showed it in the preview there where they go into the bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like where you drink like a, what do you drink, like a
martini with a twist.
A martini with a twist. And
very
just,
dry.
Shoot him. Kill him.
Kill him.
Just kill him.
You get to see Yul Brynner again in his Magnificent Seven outfit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
kind of sloppy with your drink.
Yeah, yeah.
He wants his mama. Kill him. That's what he's there for. Kill him.
What did you think, Patrick?
This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this movie thoroughly, and it was wonderful. I kind of like it more than show. I couldn't get into the show.
Oh, wow.
Just because it's like the show is interesting because it's super dark, and that's also kind of the turnoff for me, is it's just like there's really no light moment. And even this, while it's a dark premise, it had its light moments where you could laugh and enjoy yourself. And so,
well, you had Richard Benjamin, who's basically a comedic actor.
Yeah.
And he gets to play the role of the buddy.
Yeah.
You get James Brolin he's not goofy, but he's
been there before.
He's having a fun time.
Yeah. So he kind of knows the ins and outs. That's kind of the fun of it, is that he's been once before. So.
And you get to see some fun, you know, little funny side stories of the robots going crazy in different worlds. It's great.
It's enjoyable. It gets a little dark towards the end. It gets a little violent. I mean, obviously the robots murder everybody. So if you're waiting for that not to happen, just like the T-Rex. Yul Brynner is basically the T-Rex in this one. John, did you see this early on?
Yeah. I saw this when I was at probably like seventh grade, sixth grade.
You saw it in the theater?
I don't think so. I think by the time I saw it, it was on TV.
And what did you think?
I loved it. At the time, I loved it because I loved the $6 Million Man. I think one of those technicians, the head technician, is also in $6 Million Man.
Oh, okay.
Whenever they needed a guy in charge of robotics, this was the guy. Forget his name. But the bald guy who was like saying, that's odd. That's never happened before.
Yeah.
No, I loved it as a kid. I just thought it was the greatest because, you know, it was like, you know, yeah, it's like the next step up from Disneyland. And the idea that, yeah, you know, you got a couple $1,000, everything's robotic. And it still holds up. You know, it's obviously not as high tech as the TV show. The TV show goes much deeper. And that was what was fascinating about the TV show, is it gets into the, you know, into the possibilities, just how you know, the meaning of this.
The robots growing sentience. Yeah. And, you know, what is like a soul or what's humanity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My only gripe is why in God's name would they hermetically seal the control room so that no oxygen would get in?
Exactly.
Like, I get it from moisture and stuff like that, but come on, no oxygen.
These were early computers. You had to be very sensitive equipment.
So, yeah, like, now it looks pretty low tech.
Yeah, there's no handle. You can't just put a handle on it.
Yeah, just grrr.
Yeah, non-breakable windows, but it's just like now it looks a little low tech, but at the time it was really a kick.
Yeah, it's
and
a lot
it still
of fun.
Holds up. It's still like Patrick said, it's still a lot of
well,
fun.
Well, I love the whole heat vision. You know,
thing
with
so cool.
The way when you see it from his and the way they made his eyes always do that glow.
Yeah.
His eyes had those like pinpoints of light.
Exactly.
Were really cool. There's some really cool elements.
And he really moves like a robot. He's got that posture. And that was perfect. That was just, he was a perfect person to pick for that.
That's great.
And I just love how it slowly spirals out of control. I love the whole chase where they chase into the next land.
Yeah.
They're chasing through Roman world and medieval world and all that. Yeah.
Oh, it's good stuff.
That was a lot of fun. And the whole thing about how you could tell, look at their hands.
Oh, their fingers.
They haven't perfected the hands yet.
Help. Silly.
Help me.
That was
dark.
That was pretty crazy. Yeah.
Here, have some water. No.
Yeah. Good stuff. It's very effective.
It's funny.
It is. I think it still works, even though, you know, obviously the effects have come further.
And it's still in that effective. Real meat. MGM did a lot of these kind of dystopian movies between Planet of the Apes and Star Wars. MGM is they're doing like Soylent Green.
Yeah. I think they might have done Andromeda Strain, too.
The Omega Man. Yep. There's all these really great early 70s.
That was very popular at the time.
Yeah, before Star Wars breaks, there's about five or six.
Logan's
Run is another one. Silent Running.
Dystopian, because that's the way. That's one reason why people love Star Wars, is because they'd just gone through 10 years. They were all like, depressing glimpses at the future. And cautionary tales. And Star Wars was like, we're just going to go back to Flash Gordon and make it fun. It's just going to be like an adventure.
Yeah.
Because up until then, you're right. Omega Man and Soylent Green, these were all pretty like depressing.
Pretty bleak movies.
Yeah. Which kind of reflected what was going on in the 70s, you know. Overpopulation, pollution, corruption.
And then Westworld's the idea that even your vacation could go crazy.
Exactly.
Nowhere is safe.
Yeah, nowhere is safe.
I love that. Boy, have we got a vacation for you.
Yeah.
The
Delos Corporation.
Delos Corporation. And the hovercraft was great, you know, at the beginning.
You just get that reflection in that pilot's eye.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff.
Nothing can go wrong.
Alan Oppenheimer was the guy.
That's it. And he played Rudy on the $6 Million Man.
Was that his name, Rudy?
He's the guy that was behind all the bionics and stuff.
Wow, that's crazy.
So it's kind of like, seeing this, it's like, oh, it's that guy again.
He's still around.
Is that right?
He's still around, yeah. There you go. How about that?
I'm just waiting to hear somebody in the background go, it was okay.
It was okay. Justine, what do you
did
think?
Did you watch that together?
It was okay. We didn't watch any of them together this week.
What did you, let's rate this sucker.
Who do you want to go first?
Let's go, Jake.
I'll give it a 7.5.
Oh, wow. That's pretty high.
Decent.
I agree. 7.5. I think it's a solid movie.
Decent.
And even though technology is outdated, the whole premise holds up and it's really cool.
Yeah, it's still a fascinating premise.
You still want to pay attention. You're still like watching the movie. It's not like you can kind of, you're just playing in the background.
And there's not really like dull moments where you can just go wander off and do something else. Like you're pretty enthralled through
the whole thing.
And that says a lot. That says a lot for the construction of it.
You want to see what's going on.
Michael Crichton.
And even though like, you know, it's kind of hokey the way Yul Brynner's chasing him, like, you're still kind of scared. Like, damn, this thing cannot stop.
He's not stopping,
Oh, and that freaking snake.
That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
It beat me.
John?
I give it a 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it just as much as when I was a kid. Yeah, it's solid.
Patrick?
I said 7.5.
Patrick?
I said 7.5.
I'm going to give it a... you're going to be disappointed. I'm
going
to give it a 6.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Six still solid.
Still good.
Decent.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It was never one of my absolute favorites, but that last 20 minutes is amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to throw acid on his face.
I just don't like having to look at Dick Van Patten.
Oh, I forgot about that. 8 is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. The new sheriff. Let me get this straight. The new sheriff is Dick Van Patten.
You guys think that the new sheriff is the king. It's Druidia's dad.
Yeah, and, I know.
In Spaceballs.
I glaze over that.
All right. I love you guys.
You remember 8 is enough, right?
Of course.
The dad.
Nancy Allen.
Nancy Allen.
Mm. It went on to be in.
Oh, was she in that?
Was Nancy Allen in that?
I don't think so. There's somebody that looks like her. I don't think that's Nancy
Allen.
Okay,
it's not Nancy Allen. The girl from 1941 is in it. The blonde girl.
Yeah.
I can't remember
her name. You're right. Yeah.
Can't remember her name. We'll be seeing that movie soon.
Which one?
1941.
Oh, your great. Favorite. Your favorite. Great. It's, yeah, I love it.
They're going to hate it.
Well, you don't know that.
You and I are going to love it.
You don't know that.
All right, are you guys ready to move on to our next movie?
Let's do it.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I don't know.
1:23 p.m. A crowded subway train starts its run from Pelham Station in the Bronx. 1:45 p.m. Four desperate, heavily armed men seize control of the train.
Open the door or I'll blow your head off.
Taking 17 people as hostages.
Your attention, please. Now then, you'll all remain seated. Anybody who tries to rise is going to get shot. I do hope I have made myself understood.
2:13 p.m. The city of New York is given 1 hour to come up with $1 million ransom.
You're out of your skull.
No all units stand by on the double.
What's up, Z?
A train's been hijacked.
Millions have read it. Now you can live it. The taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
There is no way you can get away with this. You are underground in a tunnel.
At precisely 3:13, we are going to begin executing the hostages. Let's go!
Nothing will happen as long as you obey my orders.
New York City is held powerless in the grip of four ruthless men. From the mayor's office.
Don't tell me I don't want to know.
To police headquarters.
I've got about 50 men inside the tunnel, all wearing vests and armed with machine and submachine guns. We could fight the Third World War down there.
To the nerve center of the world's busiest subway system.
My only priority is saving the lives of these passengers.
Maybe an hour isn't enough time.
An hour is plenty of time.
We agree to pay the ransom. Repeat, we agreed to pay you the money. Now turn your clock off. The money has to be counted, stacked, tied, transported uptown. It just isn't physically possible.
You'd be surprised what's physically possible.
Pelham 1-2-3's in motion.
There's no way driving up trains.
How long does it take to get all that money together anyway?
Just not gonna make it.
We'll never make it. The passengers are dead ducks.
What the hell do you expect for that lousy 35 cents to live forever?
Walter Matthau, Robert Shaw. The most spectacular hijack in history. The taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Man, I love this movie.
It's a good one.
John, when was the last time you had seen this one?
Oh, it's been years. It's been years. Yeah, I always liked this movie.
All right, let's start with... Let's start with Patrick.
Okay, so I've seen the remake of this one.
Oh, right.
With Denzel.
And John Travolta.
Yeah, which was a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed that movie. It was a nice crime drama. But this one blows that one out of the water. This was a fantastic movie.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, it really does.
The premise of it was great. And like the setting makes more sense as far as like time period of how this is actually functionally possible. And it was hilarious. There were so many funny moments in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's I get it. Like it's a high tense situation, but they put in so many quirks and so
it's
many
weird
jokes.
To have,
like you just can't not enjoy it.
It's weird tone at first. Cause you have Walter Matthau in it. So you're like, how is this going to go?
I don't know.
You know,
yeah, I mean, he wasn't exclusively comedies, but you like, do tend to think,
yeah,
you
know? In the years, by the way, 7.7 on IMDb, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
Gets 100%
How often does a movie get 100%?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
And this is directed by Joseph Sargent, who is mostly known for TV stuff.
Almost exclusively.
But boy, he directed the heck out of this one. And this is a really, I love this one because it's got a real gritty New York feel.
Oh, you feel
Everybody
like you're in New
Everybody feels
York.
Very real.
Yes.
And this movie has probably the most swearing we've seen so far in any movie, especially from all the guys that work in the railroad.
That's makes it feel true, you know? All those guys seem like they're real guys.
They're real like New York.
Exactly.
Lots of sexism, too, in the
train
system.
Yeah. Lots of sexism, lots
we
of
We put in the other bathroom.
Yeah. Lots of F-bombs.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's 73.
Yeah.
It was another world.
You know, you have little racism with the Japanese.
Oh God!
Visitors.
And they speak English, and he's so just funny. Like, "Oh, damn it!"
He's just like, "Fuck!"
It's been quite illuminating.
Yeah, yeah.
The look on his face.
Very 70s in the clothing that Walter Matthau's wearing. He's got like this bright yellow yeah, tie sure. with like a plaid.
A lot of plaid. Yeah.
A lot of plaid. But yeah, this movie just has a certain, and it is very, you do feel like you don't know if these guys, you feel like they're capable of murdering everybody on the
absolutely.
Train.
Absolutely.
The stakes are high.
Mr. Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one of them that's out of control. Asshole. Even Robert Shaw's like, keep an eye on this one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
And then the way it ends, of all things, the way it ends.
That ending is one of my favorite.
Gazoo
don't
time.
Give it away.
That's not giving away. It's 40 it's years great. Old.
And somebody once said, you could only, that's the sort of ending you could only sell with Walter Matthau's
yes.
face.
Yes, just the way
nobody
he
else
looks.
Could pull off that face.
Well, yeah, because there's like a whole 10 minutes they get away, and you're like, okay, what's going on? Now it's going to happen, you know? And then they do that great thing where they start looking. There's a lot of familiar faces in this, though. I don't know if you noticed the.
Jerry Stiller.
Inspector. Yeah, Jerry Stiller.
George's dad.
George's dad was Rico. And then. We've already seen one of our James Bond alumni, Teehee. He was Inspector Daniels. And
Robert Shaw.
Robert Shaw, who
was
we know, another Bond villain.
From Russia with Love, right?
Yeah. Yep, yeah. He's Red Grant. It was Red Grant.
Nobody plays bad guys like Robert Shaw, I'll tell you.
He was so good.
Oh, God. You'd be surprised what's physically possible. Just some of those
feels
lines.
Very New York.
Yeah.
For fans of the David Lynch version of Dune. That was the bad guy, the Baron. He is the police guy who said we could fight World War III down there.
Yeah.
But
Tony Roberts playing the mayor's aide.
The mayor is a total like.
Oh my God!
So he's obviously supposed to be Ed Koch.
Yeah, kind
of. If you look
at
a picture of Ed Koch, and that's who was mayor at the time, I think.
God. No, he wasn't.
He wasn't.
He was not.
No kidding.
But he does look like him.
Boy. It sure looks like that's what they're going for. It's almost like a lookalike.
Koch, I think, was in the House of Representatives at this time.
Interesting.
Yeah, Koch didn't become mayor until I looked it up.
Oh wow!
Because I always thought that they hired him because he looked like Ed Koch too. But
oh wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, Ed Koch was mayor from 78 to 89.
That's interesting because boy, it looks like this guy is like a lookalike.
Yeah.
And the voice, everything. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I love it when he goes out into the crowd and everybody starts booing him.
Yeah.
Jesus, it's the mayor.
Son of a bitch.
I love how Tony Roberts is all, there's no way out of this. You know, you got to do it. You've got to make the decision, you know.
Yeah.
There's no way to dance around this. You know?
And his wife is like, you're a regular Fiorella LaGuardia.
And did you notice who
it's
is?
It's Doris Roberts.
Doris Roberts, a young Doris Roberts.
Who always looked old. Ray Romano's mom on Everybody's Loves Raymond.
And you also noticed, did you recognize that the fourth hijacker is from Home Improvement? He's Wilson behind the fence.
He's Wilson, right?
Yeah.
I thought
the guy behind the fence, yeah.
Is that
the one with the stutter.
That. Yeah. And then we all know, of course, that's Holly Golightly's agent as
Martin Balsam.
As the motorman. And Matthew Broderick's dad was the original train driver.
Yeah, it's a who's who, I'll tell you.
There's a lot of people in this movie.
Mm-hmm. It's
a lot of fun.
It's well cast. And it's
a whirlwind the whole time.
It really is.
It never stops moving.
They flip the car.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Gets going, never stops. And what was I going to say? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Oh, Quentin Tarantino got the idea for Reservoir Dogs, the code names.
I mean,
the colors.
Yeah. Mr. Brown, Mr. Gray.
Mr. Pink.
We ripped it off from. Yeah.
That was ingenious, the thing with the disguises. Everyone's got the mustache and the glasses and the hat.
They're all taking them off.
Yeah.
They all look the same. Jake.
Yes.
What'd you think, man?
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
You're like on the edge of your seat the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
You never really know what's going to happen. It's like, oh, we're going to shoot a hostage. It's like, they're not really going to shoot a hostage, are they? And then they mess up and things happen. And then they, you know, I feel like I'm spoiling a lot of it, but.
Oh,
it's worth watching. It's...
When the cop runs off the subway and he trips and he gets shot and hurt. And then he's like, you okay, ma'am?
Yeah.
Just because he's a long-haired
baby. We're going to send help, miss.
Because the whole time Walter Matthau's like, well, it could be a woman.
Yeah, there's That's a cop right. on the train.
Yeah.
It could be a woman.
And I love because he looks like Serpico. You know, he's got a poncho and a long mustache and the long hair. He's all, I'm a cop, you know. He goes running off.
Yeah.
Love it. has the so gun good. On his ankle. Yeah.
Fantastic movie.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend this one.
It's one of my favorite 70s movies.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's not...
I always thought this was up there. You could pair this with like French Connection and Serpico.
Yeah, know? It doesn't get a lot of... It's kind of a forgotten classic.
Right.
But when you watch it, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
It really moves really well. And it's very compelling. And everybody's a good actor. And like I said, all those character actors, you feel it's very New York.
Yeah.
Everybody's a very, you know,
yeah.
Even the people like waiting for the trains and
yeah.
all that stuff. Yeah.
They got it right. You know, they shot so much of that around. Most of that was shot in New York. I think maybe some of the stuff in the subway station, these are the scenes you can tell that weren't is where there's no graffiti. They said this is the cleanest. There's one stretch where they go, the reason there's no graffiti is because this is the one spot that wasn't shot on location.
That's weird.
Hmm.
But who would notice that? They had to bring that to your attention. There's like a little making of documentary on the DVD. They talked to Hector Elizondo, and they talked to the composer.
Oh yeah,
and he said, "I think I told you." He said he didn't have too long to come up with the theme, and he thought his first attempt. He said, "Ah, this just sounds like bad Lalo Schifrin."
Yeah,
and then he got it. He went, "Oh, I know what I'm gonna do." And he says, as soon as he got the main theme, it just worked. He says, everything is like moving it forward. You know?
It feels like a very...
it feels like it's in motion. Mm-hmm. You know?
I love this. I do. I cannot recommend this movie enough.
Yeah, it's a good one.
If you only know the... I haven't seen the remake.
I would say, you know, there's nothing wrong with the remake, but I'd say skip it.
It's okay. In comparison, this original is a lot better.
If you had your choice, watch this one first, at least.
Yeah.
Because the second one really doesn't... It's not a bad movie, but it doesn't add anything to it.
No, it's more of a drama than anything else. It's definitely, it doesn't have these funny touches.
It's kind of forgettable.
Yes.
So if you're going to watch one of them, I'd say this is a case where you should watch the original. Yeah.
All right. I mean, all right, let's...
didn't even need to be remade, really.
Mm-mm.
No, but I mean, that's the point.
But right? That's the trend nowadays.
It is the trend, but...
let's remake.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Man, it's a good one. Right. You will pay me $1 million in non-sequential.
I love when Matthau finally figures out, you know, he's really at their mercy, and then finally he figures out, it dawns on him, wait a minute, they don't know how far along we are. Yeah, we got, he's just, get on the mic. Yeah, we got the money. Yeah, he's on his way.
You
know?
Yeah.
He's all, they're dead ducks. He's all, wait a minute.
How do they know?
They're down there. Yeah. Just tell them we got it. We're on our way.
I love it.
Yeah. But God, that whole thing with the end, the last guy you would expect was going to survive.
Yeah,
he's the train operator. You're just like,
yeah. He's got a bad cold.
Yeah,
he's actually swimming in the money at one point.
Yeah,
he's literally.
It's so great. You see that apartment and you get it immediately. You know.
Yeah.
He says, "Wahoo! Knock, knock, knock. What? I love that. Puts it all in the stove. And when Jerry Stiller's like, okay, give me help with the cigarette. No, wait a minute. It's tricky. Don't turn on the stove.
I got to help you with that.
Yeah.
And he was so close to getting away with it. That's what, that right to the last second.
It's so good.
How many movies have got you by the throat till the last second?
I love it. all right, let's rank this sucker.
I think that also shows you Matthau can do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was a good German. He was funny enough, but he was serious as well, and he brought that.
And you look at his filmography; it's not all comedies, you know, especially in the '70s. You know,
that's a good one though. He did a good job with it. Patrick,
I just like how jaded he is.
He is
always.
I'm gonna give this a 9.
All right.
This is a great movie.
I agree. 9.
9
for me. Yeah.
9.
Yeah, I give it a 9.
9, 9, 9.
I give it a 9. It's always been one of my favorites.
It's so much fun.
I'm going to agree with it. A 9. It's a 9.
Hey, you unanimous.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unanimous.
Wow.
High five, everybody.
Good job, guys.
You know why it's unanimous.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie, man.
I can hear her screaming in the car when she listens to this.
5.
You have no idea what you thought of this, huh?
No, she didn't tell me, so I will never know.
Yeah, we'll know.
We'll never know. It's, you know,
we'll find out.
Ba bum bum bum.
Yeah, I do love this movie. I recommend it as often as I can.
It's so much fun. It's so good.
Are you all right?
So good.
Yeah.
Super good.
All right, let's. Are you ready? You ready for the next one?
Yes.
By the way, let's talk about the next movie. Hold on. I'm looking to see if I can't find the official trailer.
Oh, yeah. There is one.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
So you got it stuck in your head.
Ba-dum-bum. Yep.
Paramount Pictures presents.
Keep your sunny side up, up, high.
Kansas, 1936. Out of the darkest days of the Depression comes the adventures of two unlikely con artists, Mose Prey and his companion, Addie Loggins.
Better go slow. And hurry. Uh-oh.
I heard you was a bootlegger.
Oh, no, sir. Not me, friend. Must be some mistake.
Ryan O'Neill is Moe's Prey. His most challenging film role.
Keep rolling. I got it. Keep rolling.
Tatum O'Neill, daughter of Ryan O'Neill, is Addie Loggins. Her very first film role.
Addie.
Addie. Get the phone.
Well, tell me, Jack, what have you been doing with yourself?
Last night I was invited over to Fred Allen's apartment for dinner.
This is Fred the Peter Allen. Bogdanovich production, Paper Moon. Or, as P.T. Barnum put it, there's a sucker born every minute.
Yes?
Afternoon, ma'am. I was wondering if Mr. Bates might be at home.
Mr. Bates is dead.
My name is Prey, Kansas Bible Company. I'm just here to deliver this Bible that Mr. Bates ordered.
Bible?
Bible? What kind of Bible? Mm-hmm. What company you say you're from? Mm-hmm. Just when you think you got it made. Just ain't made, is it?
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a car.
That's Paper Moon, guys. 1973, rated PG, just so you know. And it is Ryan O'Neill, stars Ryan O'Neill, his daughter, Tatum O'Neill, who would go on to win the Oscar, I believe, for this.
Yes, she did.
Who got hit.
Youngest, at that time, was the youngest person to win the Oscar for acting.
Justine told me when she got nominated and won, he was not too happy.
Who wasn't too happy?
Her father.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
And she...
They weren't there because they weren't nominated. Peter Bogdanovich wasn't there either.
8.1 on IMDb. 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice. Those are good
ratings. I thought it would be higher.
Well, in the 90s, that's good.
Screenplay by Alvin Sargent. Of course, his brother directed Taking a Pelham 1-2-3. I'm just kidding.
I think it's spelled different.
Directed by Peter Bogdanovich, of course. Story by Joe David Brown. Let's talk about it. John, this is one of your favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, I think that'd be in the top five, my favorite top five movies of all time. And I never get tired of it. I've seen it 100 times. It's just beautifully done. You know, great performances, great story, beautifully shot. Some of the most beautiful black and white photography you're ever going to see. And just completely nails the time period. It just, you feel like you're in another, on another planet, you know. All done very well. As far as the cars and the clothes and the music and all that. But it's just a great story because it's got everything. You know, it's funny, but it's also got some really poignant moments too. Probably the best thing Ryan O'Neill ever did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that would say like Barry Lyndon or something like that. But, you know, this is really the best thing he ever did.
And you're right. It does feel like with the cinematography and everything, you could put this next to, I think I told you.
Yeah.
Couple of months ago, I watched it with Grapes of Wrath back to back, and it felt like, I mean, the same. They got it right down to the details. Everything is, you know, it's all these, it's like this incredible period. It's like the work that went into it to make it look and feel like the 1930s.
And that's his wife, Polly Platt, did the production design. So as far as picking locations and casting and getting it to look right, she just did it. She's like 50% of it. Right,
and some
there.
Of the people they cast, like the people that. Yeah. They go to all these houses and they open the doors. And
some of those people are non-actors. When they went to some of these Kansas City locations and forget what other states they were in the middle of the country. They wanted some people that looked not like actors. So I think some of these, the shopkeepers and people answering the door, some of those people were actually non-actors. They did an open casting call. And if somebody had the right look or the right sound, they'd cast them because they wanted the accents and they wanted something that looked real. So some of these people were actually not actors, you know.
It felt real. It felt like it's like a travelogue.
Yeah. And part of the reason is because Bogdanovich is a fan. You know, he was like a movie critic and a movie journalist before he directed. So he knew these movies backward and forward. He got to be friends with John Ford and Howard Hawks and all those guys, wrote about them, did biographies. So he knew what this should look like for it to feel, for the vibe to be right. He knew what these things looked like as far as lensing it for black and white. And he insisted, he said, this has got to be in black and white. This is not going to work if we don't shoot it in black and white. So
definitely paid off.
How many times would you say this was for you to watch this?
Oh, you know, I always say hundreds. It's got to be like 50 by now.
You're not sick of it at all?
No, I never get tired of it because it's endlessly fascinating.
It is fun to watch.
Yeah, everything, like I said, the performances, the way it's shot, it's just endlessly fascinating, particularly because I'm just a fan of old movies. This one just sort of is a great sort of Valentine. It's a love letter to the old 30s and 40s movies. And he had done Last Picture Show. You know, this is like his third movie ever. Last Picture Show was like his first, and that was shot in black and white, and that was a heavy drama. No comedy in that, really. And he decided, oh, I want to do a comedy. So he had done What's Up, Doc? Between Last Picture Show and Paper Moon. That was sort of a screwball comedy done in color and not a period piece. It was done in the 70s and it was set in the 70s.
It's Ryan O'Neill also.
It is. And it's where he found some of these people. Like he found Madeline Kahn. He discovered her. First movie she did was What's Up, Doc? John Hillerman was in What's Up, Doc? So he was starting to put together like a repertory company. Mm-hmm. He noticed like John Ford, Howard Hawks, they kind of used Preston Sturges. They used the same people.
Sure.
For the secondary roles. And it got to be kind of like a little troupe that just worked, you know? So he was starting to put together his own little company of actors.
The Coen brothers have kind of done
exactly.
That.
Exactly. And it is a lot of fun. Because people turn up, and especially when they're versatile. You know, like John Hillerman, everyone thinks of him like as doing Higgins.
Wes Anderson does that too.
Yeah, Wes Anderson has his own.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a lot of fun. But yeah, third movie ever, and I just think it knocks it out of the ballpark.
Justine, let's talk about what you thought. It was good. I want my $200, Jake.
I want my $200.
So Jake, you're sitting there eating your Coney Island. Uh-huh. Let's talk about what you thought, man.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah,
Eat your Coney Island. Drink
eat your Coney Island. Yeah, you need the relish
not
on that
hungry.
Coney Island.
You think anybody else would have bought you that telegram?
Now, where would you be? But here you are, sitting here with a knee high and a Coney Island. She's so great.
She was fantastic.
$200.
Yeah.
But I don't have it. Then get it.
Right. I love that scene where they pull their first scam and they're driving down the road and it's really happy music and he's like smiling and then she just looks over and she goes, do you now owe me $183? 75
Brings it right back down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, go. What did you think, man? First time seeing it.
I thought it was fantastic. It was funny. It was clever. There was a lot of touching moment. It's like it had it all.
Mm-hmm.
It had it all, and there was same as Taken Pelham 1, 2, 3. It's like you were kind of sitting at the edge of your seat every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, is this going to be the one that gets them, or there's a lot of close calls. And
they run the scam kind of to perfection. She kind of messes up a couple times. I love the scene where
$24
where she gives away the Bible, and then the very next shot, you see her sitting on the railing of the car.
Yeah, uh-huh. And he looks behind him. Yeah. Like, you stay there, but you figured out pretty quickly she's better at this than he is.
Yeah. Yes,
she picks it up in like 2 minutes. Yeah. You know?
She can read people.
Yeah, she's looking at the jewelry. Well, and there's a piano in there. She can afford it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, she's much more savvy than he is.
Well, he's like, I'm going to give you an extra $5. Just you're coming to my door.
And that's when you start figuring out, yeah, they're probably related. You got to be related.
Yeah.
You know? We got the same job. It doesn't make me your daddy.
Not everybody who meets in a barroom gets a baby.
Yeah, you're questioning it the whole time, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really, but they make a good team. Yeah.
How do you like that ending when he sees the photo?
God.
Because it pulls on your heartstrings, but it really isn't trying too hard.
Oh.
He's just looking at the photo, and it's not going overboard, you know?
No. That one, it gets me. That one got me, though.
Some people cried.
That part got me, yeah.
And then I love that. He's like, go back. And then the car, hey, look out. The brake's coming. The chase after.
Hurry up.
You need to go back right now. You still owe me $200.
And that last shot of them just driving off.
If that doesn't look like a Chaplin shot, just completely focusing on the car going down that endless road.
Patrick, what did you think?
I'm going to say this. This is what Bonnie and Clyde should have been.
Ah, very good.
This movie was fantastic. It was sweet. It was hilarious. It was just a thrill ride the whole way through. And you really figure that they are related and he has to be her dad. There's no other way.
Yeah.
And just like her portrayal in this movie was amazing. She did a fantastic job, especially for being her first movie. It's killer. Like, she did an amazing job. She makes this movie. Without her, it would be nothing.
Absolutely. If they'd cast another girl.
Oh, God.
Because it was just sort of like, they weren't even sure. They just sort of said, yeah, maybe she can do this. And the fact that they are related, you know, it kind of pays off, you know.
It works. And it works to her. The advantage that she's not like a typical looking kid. Mm-mm. She's kind of a little tomboy looking kid. Yeah. And they put her in the coveralls and the whole thing.
Kind of has the low voice.
Yeah.
Kind of gravelly voice.
I want my ding. Get it.
I want my $200.
It's so great. Smoking in bed. And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Always got the radio on. Yeah. You know?
Frank D. Roosevelt says, we have nothing to fear. Before. Oh, does he?
Right, Frank D. Roosevelt. Yeah.
Go write St. Roosevelt. Go write a letter to St. Roosevelt.
I just love that. I love it at the carnival, too. I'm not going to leave you behind. You know?
And I also love that eventually he just gets to the point where he's talking to her like a grown-up because they're having that argument, and he goes, do you think Frank D. Roosevelt could eat off, he could eat off tabletops like the rest of us? But no, that would make him look common.
He gets to the point where he can't treat her like a child anymore because she's too adult.
He's literally having like a grown-up conversation with her. You know,
they really do make a good team. You know.
Oh, the end is heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it's just like I teared up.
Let's take a quick sidetrack into one of mine and John's one of our favorite scenes. Oh, go ahead.
We also get a very nice little bit of Madeline Kahn.
That's exactly what I was going to play for you, right?
Trixie Delight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's so great.
Let's take a listen to Miss Kahn.
Hey, what's up, kiddo? Daddy says you're wearing a sad face. Ain't good to have sad face. Hey, how'd you like the coloring book? Would you like that? You like Mickey the Mouse? Oh, son of a bitch!
First of all, John and I always love that she calls it Mickey the Mouse.
Yeah.
That's such a Mickey great touch.
Son of a bitch!
Such like an adult thing to say.
Well, it's not only that. Mickey Mouse isn't quite the global phenomenon yet.
Mickey the Mouse.
It's like, he's been around a couple of years. Yeah. So it's like Mickey the Mouse. So you're like, okay. This is like, it just touches like that. You know?
She's trying to relate to you know, it's like an adult trying to relate.
So let Miss Trixie sit up front with her big tits.
Yeah. That's a great scene. That's a great scene where she finally levels with it and she realizes, look, we're after the same thing. Like, you know, we need this guy to get us to where we need to go. And you know.
And I won't last that long. She goes, just wait it out because I never seem to last very long.
Yeah. And that's such a great scene because she levels with her as an adult.
She's got that look on her face like, okay, I'll get in the car.
Yeah.
You know, because you finally just laid it out what it is, you know.
Use cosmetics. Look, I'll let you put on my earrings. You're going to see how pretty you're going to be. And I'll show you how to make up your eyes and your lips. And I'll see to it you get a little bra or something. But right now, you're going to pick your little ass up. You're going to drop it in the back seat. And you're going to cut out the crap. You understand? You're going to ruin it, ain't you? Look, I don't want to wipe you out. And I don't want you wiping me out, you know? So I'm going to level with you, okay? Now, you see, with me, it's just a matter of time. I don't know why, but somehow I just don't manage to hold on real long. So if you wait it out a little, it'll be over, you know? I mean, even if I want a fella, somehow I manage to get it screwed up. Maybe I'll get a new pair of shoes, a nice dress, a few laughs. Times are hard. Now, if you fool around on the hill up here, then you don't get nothing. I don't get nothing. He don't get nothing. So how about it, honey? Just for a little while. Let old Trixie sit up front with her big tits.
That's such a great scene, though, because she really is.
She's laid it on the line.
She just laid it on the line.
And she gives it all up for $20.
Did you recognize Bert and Gilliam?
Yeah,
from Blazing Saddles. May not be a canopy, but it sure do open up a whole canopy. Man, those teeth.
Yeah.
When he flashes that grin, man, those teeth are too much.
I love it. He's got that little pencil thin, like, mustache. Oh, like,
who is it? Bronson mustache.
Sheik of Araby.
Yeah.
It's another touch.
Oh, I love it. God. What a great...
That's good week.
Everybody in this movie is good.
Yeah. God, Hillerman playing twins.
Yeah.
He plays the bootlegger and his brother.
Those
God.
Scenes are all shot so well, those night scenes.
Oh, God.
That night scene in the jail and that whole thing. It feels like, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's what you realize. It's just like, wow, you know, there's nothing going on, you know. It's like a little bootlegging. It's like, what do you got to do, you know?
They're literally sitting in the hotel lobby on a Saturday night.
Yeah, listening to the radio.
Yeah.
And and God, she's sharp. There's something going on. He keeps writing in a little book and going out to the back. And
yeah.
Go follow him.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah. He's a bootlegger. Go follow him. Yeah, that was a great little scam, though. Sell the whiskey right back to him.
He just bought his own liquor. And he's all, because he keeps talking about this friend, this family friend of mine. You know,
yeah.
The sheriff.
But that's some harrowing stuff when they catch him. And
oh, yeah. You're just like,
and he says, you might end up on a chain gang, you know? You might be with us quite a while, you know?
Yeah.
She's pointing to her hat. Where'd the money go? You know, it's in her hat.
And you see it through like the lace in her hat.
Giant chunk of cash. You're like, oh.
They do the close-up, you see it.
I love it.
And the look on his face like, oh, God.
Yeah. Then what about, for no reason, there's, it's Randy Quaid.
Oh, my God.
Wrestle you for it.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah.
Well, he had already been in Last Picture Show and What's Up, Doc? And he wanted him in this, and he could only, he was getting ready to do The Last Detail.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's starting to become kind of a bigger name. How he's like the lead in The Last Detail, you know?
Yeah.
And so he said, we just need you for like a small part. You okay? Just doing a couple days. I can't think of anybody else who can play this hillbilly like you can.
Yeah, that's great.
He's all, I'll do it. You know, not too many lines.
That's awesome.
That's so great. Wrestle you for it. Yeah. Don't make no never mind to me. I love that. This car ain't no good. What's wrong with it? Can't haul nothing with it.
Family of hillbillies.
Just those. And then when they get it, the whole family's all, hee-ha!
Ridiculous.
Oh, man. And another, out in the middle of nowhere. You just realize, you know.
There's nothing out.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there.
Holy cow.
One of my favorite touches is when they come out in one of the towns, it's before they go pull the scam with the $20 bill.
Yeah.
They come out of like a little thing or whatever, and there's a dog just runs across the street. And
yeah.
I was like, how perfect is that?
I know.
It's just a great little.
You're like, waiting for a tumbleweed.
Yeah.
It's just like, when they're sitting in the diner and the wind's blowing and you just realize,
I could watch this movie over and over.
Yeah, it's just full of touches. It just takes you. It does what movies do best.
It transports you somewhere else.
Absolutely, it's like a time machine.
Yeah,
but it's just so well written. It's so funny and so touching. You know,
I loved it. All right, let's the moment of truth. Jake, what do you give this one?
I give this one a 10.
Yeah,
I absolutely loved it.
Patrick,
9.5.
Why are you going 9.5?
Yeah, why are you skimping on us?
Because I almost cried.
If you cried, it would have been a 10.
If I had cried, it would have been a 10.
But it's not a tearjerker.
The end of this damn movie is a tearjerker.
The fact that you almost cried should make it a 10 because it's not a tearjerker.
Stop trying to change my number.
I'm going to give it a 10. This is a 10 for me.
It's a 10 for me, too.
Way to make me look like the douche, guys.
It's a 10. And he said that was the tricky thing, was he, you know, pull the heartstrings, but don't overdo it. And they really don't. They really don't. They just, you have to meet the movie halfway. You know, the whole way through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they don't lay it on thick.
They don't lay it on thick at all. Yeah. But that last shot, looking at the photo, because you know she's taking that photo in the Paper Moon, you know?
And yeah.
She wanted to take one with him. And you kind of forget about it, you know?
Yeah.
And then she realizes, well, this is the last time I'm going to see him. I'll just leave it in the car for him, you know? And that shot of him, just looking at it, you know?
Stop it.
Yeah.
And I love how she's sitting there with her aunt, and she's like, "Oh, let me get you some pie. You must be hungry." And she's like, "Oh, fuck this." And just leave.
I'm out.
You'll be sleeping upstairs with your Aunt Edna or whatever.
Like, yeah, but she's going to be taken care of. It's not a bad.
I know. It's funny because you think a lot of kids would have gone, "Great, I'm in a safe place." And she's all, "No, this is going to be boring as hell.
Yeah.
I'd rather be on the road pulling scams with my dad."
And that is kind of nice, though, that you know that at least she was going to a good home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like she wasn't gonna have a bad life.
No, I know a lot of people scratch their heads and go, "Gee, the aunt's there. He's cutting her a piece of pie. She's in a safe place." But this
not
is
the
not
the same.
Not the life she's had.
No.
She's seen how exciting it can be out there, you know.
Yeah. She gets to go to fairs and do all this stuff.
And hang out with her dad.
And run scams.
And whores.
And run scams. And
in her heart of heart, she knows that's my dad.
It's funny though, because she's actually got this stuff perfected. She does the $5 bill trick to the guy with the cotton candy.
Ugh.
And
she picks it up so fast.
Yeah.
You know, she turns out to be better at it than him, you know.
Yeah.
That's the best, is that she just picks it up so quick.
Boy.
I love how he's all, "Get away, kid, you bother me."
Yeah.
"All right, here you go, honey."
That's it. I love it. And the whole side story with Madeline Kahn.
Mm.
And this is a movie that kind of takes its time. It's not a long movie, but it takes its time.
It is leisurely.
It is leisurely.
And that's
paced.
Another thing.
It does not feel like even an hour and a half, though. It goes by so quick.
It goes by very fast. It's good, though.
Because there's no wasted time.
No.
Every scene is moving the story forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, it's in no hurry. It just sort of tells it in the time it takes. And I also love the long shots, you know? He sort of like just sets it up and he just lets it play out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get that too often.
There's those long scenes of them driving in the car.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of just
out the back and forth.
Yeah.
Driving.
I love those scenes.
Yeah.
There's like the small little things that seem so insignificant are still enjoyable.
I love when she puts all the cologne on and he starts like sniffing around and she's smiling like, "Yeah, that's me." And then he opens up the window. She starts scowling.
It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Mm. I love it.
That's why we never get tired of it. There's all these touches to go back and little enjoy.
If you've never seen it, if you don't like something like, "Oh, I don't like black and white movies," don't let any of that stop you. Please watch this movie.
Just check it out.
Do yourself a favor.
It's one of my all-time favorites.
It's a good one.
So that's our digital movie club for this week. We do have a few extra minutes today, probably because we don't have Justine to yell at for
an hour
giving all these movies fours. So let's, John, you had seen a couple movies. You went to see...
Oh, I saw the Ralph Wrecks the Internet.
And what did you think?
I thought it was great. Yeah, just as good as the first one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what did you give it on your old...
Oh, yeah, you know, like an 8.
Yeah, yeah. Really? Okay.
Yeah, solid, yeah.
Now, you saw...
I saw Into the Spider-Verse, Aquaman, and Mary Poppins.
What did you think of Spider-Verse?
That is in the running for my top movie of the year for 2018.
It's a great
it's
one.
A good
it
one.
Was amazing.
Yeah. Best Spider-Man movie.
So well done.
Yeah, it's very well done.
It's not one of those ensemble superhero movies where each person doesn't get their moment. Like, each person is just enough to where you can enjoy the character. You don't have to say, "Oh, I got too much of this person. I didn't get enough of this person." Like, there's no one that's abusing or taking all the screen time.
No, because it's really about Miles.
Yes.
But it's also about Peter Parker.
Yes.
And it's redemption for Peter Parker and an origin for Miles. And like I told John, it's a tribute to Stan Lee's writing that you can do the same story over and over and it works every time.
It works
again. But I love the way they approach. It's like, okay, here we go again. I was bitten by a radioactive spider.
Yeah, that's funny.
I know. Yeah, they're reading everyone's mind. We know the origin story.
And the animation is beautiful.
Yes.
Oh my God.
The art style is just stunning.
It's beautiful. And there's actual...
It's different.
It's so different.
It looks... A lot of movies try to go for it, but this looks like a comic book.
It sure
does. It looks
does.
Like you're flipping to the pages of a comic book. Mm-hmm. It really, really does.
They even do the thing with the color separation bleeding through.
Yeah.
The sound effects and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I loved it. And stay till the end.
Yes. Go all the way.
There's all the little thing
always
in the very end.
And then Aquaman was...
Oh, you saw Aquaman.
It's a popcorn movie.
Yeah!
Thumbs up?
It was okay. It was enjoyable.
Mm. Give it a number.
6.
Okay.
So, like, it's fun to see. It's out for a DC superhero movie. It's pretty good.
It's sure doing well. Jeez. Yeah, like 3 weeks at number one.
Yeah. It must have something. It's fun to see. I don't like, I'm not like, oh my God, you have to go see it. But it was
There it is.
If I found it hard to bring myself to.
If you're
going to
go see a superhero movie, go see Into the Spider-Verse.
Hold on, listen.
Yeah, I love that.
There it is. Yeah!
It's basically, it's not Jason Momoa as Aquaman. It's Jason Momoa as Jason Momoa. That's pretty much what this
movie
is.
I got to admit that for the Justice League movie, he's one of the more interesting things in the Justice League movie.
Yeah, and so I like Jason Momoa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well shot. It's like, visually, the digital effects are good.
I think it's the same director as Star Trek Beyond, right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, it's the guy that it saw, right?
Yeah.
It's James Wan.
I think so, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I mean, it's a fun movie. Yeah. It's not like, you know, the worst. It's not Justice League. Like,
it's not Green Lantern.
Don't we don't talk about that. They ruined a good character.
Yeah, you like that character, huh?
I love that character.
It's too bad because it'll take a while before they were given.
Ruined that character for.
Yeah.
When will they take another shot at that character?
They're rumoring doing.
Maybe it wasn't Star Trek Beyond.
I think they were in talks with Tom Hanks to do it. Not Tom Hanks. Tom Cruise.
I was going to fall out of my chair.
Wrong Tom. Tom Cruise, they were talking about to play like an older Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
But I'm not into that.
You're going to see a lot of running in that.
Yeah,
one.
I'm not into that.
Running.
Oh, Justin Linder. I'm sorry. I'm so racist.
Aquaman, it was fun. It's long, but it's fun. And then Mary Poppins was just Disney's...
Mary Poppins Returns?
Yeah, excuse me.
You, was sequel
just,
to the first?
Was it Mary Poppins Revenge?
Pretty much. Oh. It's just Disney's ode to Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's all that is. It's just a
the Wrath of Poppins
session of... Lake, it's just a two-hour movie of, hey, look who we got for
I had no desire to see that. I don't understand.
I really didn't either. I love Mary Poppins, the original movie. It's a lot of fun, and the music's great. And this just, like, there wasn't a song that stood out. It didn't, stick with you.
No Sherman Brothers.
No.
Maybe you should have taken a spoonful of sugar before you went to see it.
To make the movie go down.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey.
John, are you any interest in...
But yeah, it was just...
Any interest in Poppins Returns?
Not really, because I didn't really care about the first one, which I know will get a lot of hate mail, but I just never really cared much about the first
one. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
I've never fully seen...
Yeah.
You really don't need to.
Mary Poppins.
Because I didn't see it as a kid. By the time I saw it, I was much older, and I thought, oh, yeah, this might have been great if I was five, but, you know, I don't know.
I enjoyed it then as much as I do now.
It was just... It's just a two-hour Lin-Manuel Miranda
not
movie.
At all.
Child at heart.
And I guess
that's why it's doing so well.
People love him. People love him, yeah.
He's good. It's just like, I don't think that's what the movie should have been.
Does Mary Poppins do that?
All the time.
I think I told you, John, I think it was the Onion AV Club called...
The what?
The Onion AV Club, which is like their actual... like It's their actual serious... like
right,
they actually
sure.
do...
They do movie reviews. Yeah.
They called the... They called Aquaman a walking heavy metal guitar riff. Basically, this.
That pretty much paints the picture, doesn't it?
Yeah!
Well, they did everything short of giving him a harpoon for a hand, right?
Yeah!
That comes later.
The comics did that, right?
Oh, yeah, it comes later. He gets a hook for a hand.
Yeah! There it is.
That's it, yeah.
It sounds like Gone in 60 Seconds. Yeah,
that's the...
That's pretty accurate.
That is the chicken playing the piano of the DC universe right there.
Is there an Aqualad and Tusky the Walrus?
Tusky the Walrus!
Somebody really big is playing his mom, right? Is it Nicole Kidman?
Yes.
Or? Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they do that horrible thing where they youngify them with CGI.
They youngify them. That's great. Yeah, that is kind of weird. Like, they did that with... Anthony Hopkins in one of those Silence of the Lambs movies.
Yep. It looks so bad.
Well, it's hard to do, isn't it? Yeah,
it's very hard to do.
You have to blank out all the wrinkles, yeah. And what, Amber Heard's the girlfriend or Mrs. Aquaman?
Yeah, she plays Mara.
Who plays Mrs. Aquaman?
Yeah.
That's awful.
And then...
The Black Manta, is that the bad guy?
Yeah, the Black Manta is actually pretty cool in this one. Yeah. Like, they did that pretty well. And then Ocean Master was, I'm trying to remember the actor's name and I can't, but you know, he was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's what the movie is. It's just, the whole time.
Yeah. That's it, dude. Love it. Give it. So give us your numbers. Aquaman a six.
Yeah, Aquaman is 6. Mary Poppins Returns. Mary Poppins Returns is like 9. A 3.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Universe
is a 10.
9.5.
It's a 10.
9.5 because you couldn't, because you didn't cry.
Wait, did Spider-Verse make you cry?
I did.
Spider-Verse made you cry?
No.
Wait, if it didn't make you cry, how did it get a 10?
Because. I'm sorry. Because Justine's not here doesn't mean you get to rate me.
No. But
whoa.
I'm just saying.
Whoa.
But you said you didn't score it a 10 because.
You didn't score Paper Moon a 10 because it
didn't
make you cry.
I think he was being tongue-in-cheek.
I was being tongue-in-cheek.
He was joking around.
But. Yeah.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John.
I don't understand.
It's not good. So for the rest of the year, we're like, did you cry? Did you give it a 10?
Yeah, did you give it a 10?
You'll have to cry before you give it
a
10.
You cried.
I'm sorry for having feelings.
I was watching. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That brings it to a screeching halt. Yeah. I'm sorry for having feelings.
Yeah. You should be.
That's all crickets.
And Patrick, Jake, Janine.
What?
Who the fuck's Janine?
Wow, you're off the rails.
Patrick, did you, Jake, Janine? Did you see anything else? Have you caught any of
that? I saw the same movies that Patrick has.
What did you give him?
Except Aquaman. I haven't seen Aquaman yet. Mary Poppins, I give 7.
Wow.
I actually had a lot of fun with it. The only thing I didn't like.
Yeah, you love show tunes. No
was
wonder.
Was Meryl Streep. Aha. I think Meryl Streep could have been out of the movie completely, and it wouldn't have missed her at all.
Okay.
But everything else is fun.
But who would have fixed the chip in the bowl, Jake?
Not Meryl Streep. Anyone else, please?
What did she play?
The song. She plays Mary Poppins' cousin,
Topsy Turvy.
Her name's Topsy, and the song "Turning Turtle" is kind of stupid, and I don't like that one. But everything else is fine.
It sounds like you have to go to the bathroom. Pretty much is what "Turning Turtle" sounds like.
Sounds like, yeah.
Makes the medicine go down.
Mom, I'm turning turtle. Hurry!
Just a little kaopectate makes the medicine go down.
And then Into the Spider-Verse, I also give a 10. It was just amazing in every aspect. I couldn't find anything wrong with that movie if I tried.
I would not be surprised if I rate that number 1 for the year.
Wow.
For Spider-Verse?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it does make you eager for the next one, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They could do.
They're trying to pitch it as a TV show.
It won. Really? It won a Golden Globe for Best Animated Film.
There you go. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is. I can play that over and over.
What? Oh, go see Stan and Ollie. That's the other one I caught.
Oh, how was it? I've seen the previews for it.
Amazing. John C. Reilly playing Oliver Hardy. The makeup, it's just insane. He looks like a spitting image. And Steve Coogan playing Stan Laurel. They got the voices down. They got the moves.
And are you excited for Holmes and Sherlock?
No.
I mean, he's going to go see it. It's a Sherlock.
That didn't get very good reviews.
It got it had a 0 on Rotten.
It got absolutely terrible reviews.
Yeah.
Until one critic saved it. It got like, it's like a 4% now.
Why did they hate it so much?
It was terrible.
Not funny.
Not funny.
That's the trick. If you're a comedy and there's not one laugh, you got a problem.
I just think Will Ferrell and Johns, just they need to stop.
That should have worked. So what did they did Step Brothers together?
Yeah, I think it was just maybe you needed a good director. You needed someone. You know what it
Who
is?
Who wrote
too?
It?
I don't know. But another thing is you have to like the source material. If you're doing something like that, you have to really like the source material. You have to know it in and out to get the.
That's true.
That's why we talk about it all the time. Young Frankenstein works because Mel Brooks loved Frankenstein movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And while as much as he's poking fun at them, it's also a love letter to
them. Homage to
parody comes from a love of something.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want to see a great Holmes and Watson parody, watch Without a Clue, with Ben Kingsley and Michael Caine, where it's
Michael Caine.
How many years ago was that?
That's 80. It's the mid 80s, I think. 87.
Oh, that far back.
But it's the whole premise is Watson is actually the smart one. He created Holmes as like this alter ego, and then the public, there's a demand for Holmes, so he hires an actor who's Michael Caine, an alcoholic actor, to play Sherlock Holmes, who's actually an idiot.
So it's Michael Caine and Ben Kingsley?
Michael Caine and Ben Kingsley.
I think I've seen that.
I got to check that out.
It's really funny.
That sounds good.
It's really, really funny.
Who wrote that?
I don't remember. Let's look
I got to check that out, because I love Michael Caine. Michael Caine's always great.
I failed you.
It's 1988.
Wow, that far back.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Kingsley's always great. I mean, yeah.
Gary Murphy and Larry Strother were the writers.
I mean, Ben Kingsley's great to the point where that whole thing where he plays the Mandarin, that was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did such a good job.
Yeah. And boy, talk about a guy who can play like super evil bad guys. But he did Gandhi. He played Gandhi, for Christ's sake.
Oh, he's the greatest bad guy from Sneakers.
Oh, that's right. Sneakers.
Sneakers.
Come on, Marty.
But what's the other one they always talk about? Beautiful Beast or Beautiful... What was that? Where he's like a gangster? What the hell was that?
I don't know. I just remember him as the best villain from Sneakers.
Sneakers. And that's going way back. That's Robert Redford and Sidney Poitier.
Yep. And James Earl Jones.
Yeah, that's way back.
And Danny...
Glover? Vito?
No. Is it Danny Glover? No, it's not Danny Glover. It's... one of the Ghostbusters.
Ernie Hudson. One of the Ghostbusters? Harold Ramis?
What are you talking about? Sneakers is Robert Redford.
Yeah. And,
but I mean, there's eight other actors. Remember the poster? There's like eight guys up there. Oh, Dan Aykroyd. That's right.
Jeez,
right.
That was going to drive me crazy. Whew.
I forgot about that.
It's a great movie. What is this?
Yes, it is my opinion that he is dead.
He's a genius.
He's a genius.
You need to watch it. It's great. It's really, really good.
I'm gonna look for that.
It's called Without a Clue.
I'm gonna look for that.
I may have it on disc somewhere.
If you find it, let me know.
I may have it.
Call me, because I'm heading out to Eddie Brandt's, and I know they'll have a copy.
It's really, really, it's really.
I'm gonna check that out.
Theaters, indeed. Obviously, Giles and Ayers were caught in a storm too far from the shore to swim for it.
Yes, and with that heavy suitcase attached to his wrist and the lake being so deep.
Quite. Pulled the poor wretch to the bottom. Struggling futilely. Flailing desperately. As the cold black water sealed his fate forever. Well, it's certainly been a laugh. Thank you.
So what, he's an actor?
He's an actor playing, like, he has to hire him. And Watson's actually the smart one.
I like it.
The crime doctor.
Gotta check it out.
It's a good one.
Gotta check it out.
It's a good one.
Something else I watched that I just remembered. Black Mirror put out a movie on Netflix. Bandersnatch. Bandersnatch.
But same thing.
Bandersnatch.
So it's a movie?
And it's a choose-your-own-adventure.
It's a choose-your-own-adventure movie.
You get to pick the ending?
So
you get to pick a bunch of it.
You get prompts periodically throughout the movie that you choose, and it, you know, the character does what you pick.
It sounds like Dragon's Lair.
Gives you the
a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
So you go through and you make these choices, and it kind of takes your story down a different path, and it allows you to kind of go back and retrace steps and try different things, and it's very interesting.
Is it effective?
Absolutely. It's super
smooth?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was smooth.
Wow, so that means you could watch it. If you really like it, that's like you could watch it six times, right?
Somebody said they unlocked five endings, I know.
Wow.
Her and her sister unlocked five endings.
I wonder if that's
going to
become a thing now.
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw, I think, three.
Yeah, she said they unlocked five.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's, you know.
Super cool. I mean, it's the movie, like, it says it's an hour and a half long, but you're going to spend, like,
you know what's really great is they
actually
you're actually now part of pretty much a Black Mirror episode.
So it's interactive.
By participating in that.
Wow.
Everyone can be a part of a Black Mirror.
You're actually like, this would be an episode of Black Mirror. Everybody's sitting there.
So was it as strong as the show?
I actually haven't seen the show. I saw this because I heard it was a choose-your-own-adventure thing, so I tried it.
What did you think, Jake, Patrick?
I didn't do it.
Why not?
No interest in Black Mirror.
Has anyone watched Bird Box? Because that's the hot thing.
I actually didn't, no. You're reminding me. I did watch Bird Box.
Yeah, what did you think?
I thought it was really good.
Was it worth the hype?
I don't know how much hype was behind it, but I really liked it.
Would you consider it Quiet Place 2.0?
Was it basically Quiet Place, but for the eyes?
Yes and no. I like Bird Box for the fact that you don't actually get to see the creature or the thing that's happening that's, you know, causing all these people to commit suicide. So there's like that fear and not knowing what it is.
You never see it?
I really appreciate. You never see it.
Hmm, interesting.
So I think it was done really well.
The movie.
That's interesting because with
you can't look at it or you commit suicide. So the whole
audience would commit suicide if you saw it.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know.
Because with The Quiet Place, you finally saw what it looked like, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's like a monster with big ears.
Which I did think was really cool. And
it's like a Dick Tracy monster.
They were originally going to show it, and there's a picture of it online, and it looks like some freaky looking baby, and I'm really glad they didn't put it in the movie.
Yeah, sometimes it's this unknown is scarier.
It is very boy. That's a bold decision because, you know, when you write one of these things, you know.
They wanted to show the monster. They went through all everything of creating the monster and doing prosthetics for everything. And, yeah, they opted not to do it because it didn't
feel
right.
Hey, look at Stranger Things. I mean, for me, like I said, that, you know, it was always like, oh, it's a monster. It's like, oh, you know, it kind of.
Nothing, they always say, nothing, you can create a worse-looking monster than anybody could come up with. If they don't show it, you're just forced to think of it in your own mind. Words, you know?
Yeah. Your imagination is far worse than reality. Yeah,
just like Willy Wonka said. That's the song
you
Pure
Imagination. Dream about.
That's what the song Pure Imagination is about. It's about the horror that
the
resides
Candyman
in us all.
Can.
The Lovecraftian horror that.
I mean, you're
and
not
that's the message of Willy Wonka.
You're not wrong.
No, it's not.
The Lovecraftian horror.
That said, good day, sir.
You lose.
Well, that was our digital movie club, and we added a few little extra bonus reviews. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll be back we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
With another exciting edition of our regular show.
Are we gearing up for the next digital movie club?
Yes.
Please.
Let's talk about it.
Before
we say goodbye.
Are we going down to Funky Town?
Won't you take me to
Funky
Town?
Won't you take me to
Funky Town? What movies we got?
Funky Town.
Well, you know, we already passed the year, but since it's on Amazon and it's free for everybody and we don't have a Patreon, let's pick up Poseidon Adventure. Let's pick up Poseidon Adventure. You know what? It's on Stars. I'm sorry. It's not free.
I don't have Stars.
I do.
So let's not pick it up.
Damn it.
Unless you want to.
Okay.
Let's vote for it.
Sure.
How are you guys usually watching these things? On Netflix? Or...
renting them.
I'm usually renting them on Amazon.
On Amazon, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
what's next?
Is Poseidon Adventure rentable on Amazon?
Yeah,
it is. They're all rentable. But I just don't want to cost people money.
Okay.
If you had a Patreon, we wouldn't have to cost us anything.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe
that ship has sailed a long time
maybe
ago.
Maybe next year.
I love that. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year we'll do it.
Okay, so we're not doing Poseidon Adventure?
We're doing Poseidon Adventure.
We are. The original.
The original.
John, just cross it off.
Yeah, why are you making a right?
The original Poseidon Adventure. And then, let's do this one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's time for the battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
With Jason Momoa.
Cornelius goes, yeah.
I swear to God, if it's not as good as Conquest, I will throw it at you.
I got to tell you.
That Conquest.
I'll tell you right now.
It's better.
I still think about that movie.
And?
I
just to give you, just for a palate cleanser, The Godfather Part 2.
Yeah.
Geez, that should almost be a show unto itself.
Godfather Part 2, because we're literally not going to spend much time on. I can tell you already, we're not going to spend a lot of time on Battle for the Planet.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It was okay.
No, you're right.
Poseidon Adventure, it'll be an equal discussion between
Adventure
and...
Okay.
Yeah! Woo! That's 2 weeks from now. Poseidon Adventure.
Everyone's all okay. Yeah. That's enough of that.
That's literally what I have in my head. I have the guitar riff from Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And then when you do it,
Okay, I'm going to go see it, and then I'm going to stand up in the middle of the audience and go, yeah! Mm-hmm. And they're going to go, will you please sit down?
Yeah.
And right, I'm going to go, then I'm going to say, I thought there were zombies in this picture. Where are the zombies?
Yeah. So for John Sandy, for Patrick, for Jake, for the absent Justine, we will say this transmission ends now. And don't forget, guys, to fight the power.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Ella Fitzgerald with the Delta Rhythm Boys.
Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love. It's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as for